Hello, welcome to the Junk Time AFL Podcast, best of 2018 edition. I hope you had a very lovely new year. I hope you're loving 2019 as it goes so far. I hear everybody's flying. They're fitter than ever been. They've come back fitter. They came back on Jan 1 fitter than they've ever been. We've cobbled together a few of our favourite bits from this year, put them in one handy little podcast. Dirty little plug. Junk Time AFL Podcast pre-season live show coming to you from the Comics Lounge in North Melbourne in the lovely city of Melbourne. Sunday, March 10, 2019 at 4 p.m. You can get your tickets at trybooking.com. Head over there, type in Junk Time or AFL Podcast or pre-season or live show. Going to have many wonderful guests from the world of sport, from the world of comedy, and Adam. Get it? Joining me is a man who had a run-in with Richmond coach Dimmer Hardwick. Joining me is a man who finally wants to come to the defence of one James Sisley. Joining me is a man who had a run-in with a junior umpire. Joining me is a man who is furious. The AFL has renamed Etihad Stadium Marvel Stadium. Joining me is a man who is bitterly disappointed about the reunion of Kevin Sheedy and Derek Kickett. Joining me is a man who missed out on the opportunity to go down the slide at the big freeze at the G today. Joining me is a man whose two football teams, Australia and Carlton, failed to kick a goal in the first half yesterday. And joining me is a man, who I wish was back in hospital. Joining me is a man who sold the glue to the Collingwood cheer squad for the banner. It's Adam Rosenbach.
Oh, g'day everybody. Now, I don't know if you know this, but my family's been in the glue industry for generations.
Isn't that fascinating?
Yeah, Rosenbach's glue. It's not that well known, but we've supplied a lot of big companies over recent over many, many years. We helped build the Titanic.
Yep.
Twin Towers, that was us. Matthew Newton's career, we had that together for a little while.
Continue the game.
Last night?
Yeah, they said, I think again on the Sunday Footy Show. I've been watching a lot of Sunday Footy Show.
Yeah.
They talked about they went up to the games during the first quarter because I think they went before the game, checked it out, you know, is everyone okay with this? And then during the game they said, are you sure you want to keep going? We can stop now, postpone, maybe hold off for half an hour. I'm not totally sure.
Oh, so did it stop raining during the game?
I'm not totally sure. I couldn't tell you. I haven't watched the footage.
So basically, are we hearing cyclonic conditions?
Well, yeah, they would have been, though, because aren't they the after effects of the cyclone that's
believe,
come through?
I believe so,
yeah.
So, okay, if the AFL, I'm assuming someone at the AFL has the Bureau of Meteorology app on the phone.
Yeah, and only the app.
Yeah. And obviously the podcast app so they can listen to Junk Time.
Mm-hmm.
So they've opened it up. They're going, fucking hell, that's a lot of colours.
Yep.
That's some really dark shit in the middle there. Should we postpone it till tomorrow?
Then they give Pickers a call.
Yeah, okay. That's probably
Pickers, this is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, there's 17 inches of water on the field.
Uh-huh, I'm hearing you.
There's hurricane winds.
Yep.
Okay. Batten down your hatches. People are boarding up the windows.
Yep.
People aren't selling pies because they're frightened they're going to fly into people's faces.
Okay,
what do you reckon? What kind of conditions do you think these are for football?
Oh, so the winds are high? Did you say the winds are high?
Terrifyingly high.
Okay.
Yep.
And it hasn't stopped raining for days.
It's monsoon. We're frightened that people will drown, not only on the ground, but in the crowd.
Yeah, okay.
What kind of conditions do you think these are, Pickers? Because you say the word, yay or nay, and we're moving.
Sorry, I just missed that. I was looking at my phone. I was waiting for Gary Ablett to call me. I haven't heard from him for a little while.
Who knows? He's going to play round one. We've got no idea. Yeah. We've got no idea.
Sorry, back to the footy. It sounds perfect to me. What's the temperature? Is it like high 30s?
It's hovering between negative 15 and 37 Celsius. Yeah.
Oh, no. Great conditions. Like, I would almost think about pulling the boots back on.
We're all doing it tough.
Yeah, we're both wearing black armbands today as a sign of respect for Sid. And can I just say, like, it's been really tough.
So put out your leashes.
I have been in constant contact with the Western Bulldogs Football Club. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people would assume that's to, you know, send my condolences and to get sympathy. But I would like them to pay for the repairs on my car. Because what we may have left out of this part of the story is that I backed over Sid. You've got to get Sid stuffed. There's nothing surer than just have him, like, dropping down after a goal, just fucking boing from the locket end, just bang, Sid from the roof. Now, one man who's been welcomed back into the fold, James Hurd.
So they're having a bit of a chat to him over at Frio about whether he wants to come over and... No, he wants to join the team, but he'll be working from Victoria. Is that right?
Yes, that's what I believe. I believe he's going to be an opposition analyst. So he will watch probably the teams that I assume that Frio are about to play and then tell Ross Lyon what the other team does. And Ross will go, doesn't matter, we'll just park the bus and chip it round a lot and not score very highly and finish in the bottom four. Yep. And then they'll pay James Hurd quite highly for that information.
So it says here on the Herald Sun website, at least two AFL clubs are chasing James Hurd as the exiled great weighs up a return to the game. Now, we are very concerned that he might be taking on too much, Adam.
Yeah.
He might be taking on too much.
Well, I'm kind of worried. Like, he's in the chocolate business
now.
He's
a chocolate magnate.
Yeah, and I just think you can't do both. No. I've never known like Mr. Nestle.
Yep.
He never got involved in the AFL.
Absolutely. Willy Wonka wasn't like a scout for Port Adelaide.
No, it just doesn't. It can't work. It can never cross over. And I think the chocolate side of his life will suffer, and that, you know, it'll just cause the family. There'll be the press will be parked out front of his house going, "What's happening with your dark chocolate?" But Susan Alberti, so she went to go through a certain gate. Maybe it was AFL-approved gate.
Kind of like a VIP gate, I imagine, yeah.
Yes, yeah. That's a good word for it rather than AFL-approved. And and the dude said, you can't come in. You don't have the accreditation, which is fair enough. And she spat the dummy and said that she was humiliated.
Humiliated.
Now, obviously, I don't think she knows what humiliation... She needs to go and watch you do stand-up and understand what pure humiliation is. Like, see a man just fucking get silence for 10, 15 minutes on end and be really happy with what he's done to understand humiliation.
I suppose... I don't know. I actually didn't catch Buckley's press conference. Did he say anything at the end about...
He just said that he was good in the shoebox, was the phrase.
I heard him say that. I don't think I've ever heard that term before.
No, you've never heard...
Like, I have heard that term in life when someone says, you know, hey, you're leaving the store after buying a brand new pair of shoes. Do you want me to put them in a shoebox? I've never heard that term
in football parlance.
Football parlance, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Have you?
Oh, often. I mean, I was always, like, my dad used to say, you've got to be good in the shoebox, son. And I was like, I'm trying, Dad. I don't exactly know what you mean.
I'm on the bench. What am I meant to do?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I chased burglars out of the house last night, Dad. Yeah, it's a very weird thing to say. Like, does he mean, like, because it's in tight?
I suppose so, yeah.
But what would you just say he's good in the box?
Well, yeah, I mean...
Why does he have to make it a specific sized box?
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, if we think about tiny boxes, maybe a box that a ring might come in?
A jewellery box, perhaps.
Yeah, that might be a particularly small box.
Oh, an engagement ring box.
Yeah,
Is that too specific? Is that too small?
Maybe it could be more... Yeah, he's good in the engagement ring box.
Yeah.
Or he's good in the commitment ceremony box. How about that?
Yeah, maybe that should be
a terminology of trying to get going in the game.
Yeah. Well, it makes more sense. You're like, yeah, well...
It's more logical. You can picture that. Okay, if I'm in a shoebox, I feel like I can get into a shoebox like if I do ballerina tippy toe dance.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like I can't really get into a jewellery box unless...
Yeah.
Unless I'm really strong on one toe.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So I'll work at that because I got to be good in the jewellery box if I'm going to make it in the AFL.
And also, like, you got to spend your off-season building your toe muscle.
Yeah.
And I think every player needs to do that. And also, the other thing is confusing is shoeboxes vary in size.
That's a good point. Like, yeah, a little kid's shoebox, obviously. Well, yeah.
And then Aaron Sandilands,
Mason Cox. Yeah, different. We're talking a different kind of shoebox. So, yeah. I mean, I suppose...
It's very vague.
It's easier to be good in an Aaron Sandilands shoebox than
absolutely.
It is to be in maybe a...
Caleb Daniel.
That's about what I was about to say, yeah.
Well, I mean, Aaron Sandilands shoebox would have a fat side of the shoebox. Like, you could switch in that.
You can have a foot race in an Aaron Sandilands shoebox.
No, come on, mate. Come on. It's okay. He's not dead. Cyril's still in our hearts, mate. He's still there.
He's gone, Adam.
It's okay. He's You've still got the jumper with his number on. You still...
I've still got his jumper. I've got a jumper, mate, with his name still... written on it, and I've got, mate, a jumper that he signed.
You're still a fuckwit adult wearing a jumper that's signed by,
I'm still
by
a fuckwit that goes to grand finals with the name of Cyril on his back.
Yeah, you're still that same dickhead that wore that jumper to a person's wedding.
I'm still
an
the guy
adult wedding.
That at the 08 premiership dinner, I saw Cyril and I was wearing his jumper with the name Cyril written on the back, and I went up to him and said, "Hey, Cyril, I'm you."
See, that doesn't change, right? That's never gone. You're still, in his memory, in his mind, you're still that fucking goose that he doesn't know.
Dude, it's brutal. I mean, the darkest day in Australian sport, surely. The farewell of Cyril, it's enormous.
When did he last play? Give me that.
Probably about 7-8 weeks ago, I reckon. Yeah.
Okay. So you've had time. You've had time to get used to him. And can I just point out, like, I know Cyril's gone now. He's retired. He's going to head back to the Tiwi Islands. But... let's just look at the positives, mate. You've still got Ryan Schoenmakers on your list.
Yeah, we do have the very handsome Ryan Schoenmakers, yes.
John O'Rourke is still running around for Box Hill. You know, technically, Ty Vickery is still on your list. So
yeah, true.
It's not all bad down at the Hawks. So there are a couple of Melbourne supporters, a group of Melbourne supporters in front of us. And I was just giving him shit during the night. You know, just, you know, fun stuff. I was like, mate, your RM Williams are fake. And, you know, they'd turn around and be like, all right, dickhead. And then I was like, your chinos are not the right shade of tan.
Perfect.
And they'd be like, all right. They're like, all right, mate, you're getting, it's a bit close to the bone here.
Really, really, really getting in their shoebox?
Well, yeah. It was starting to get into their six-burner marbled benched kitchen. And then the last thing I said... I just went, your property folio is going to suffer because of lack of international investments forced out by interest-only loans in an overpriced market.
Oh,
and
mate.
They,
that's too mate, far. That's too far. Oh,
fuck, they took the bait. Like one guy, he was starting to slip his leather gloves off, and I was like, we're fucking on here. Mm. And then one guy took his Sherlock Holmes tartan cap off,
yep,
and like threw it at me.
Yeah,
and I was
sure.
Like, oh, it's fucking on.
Yep. Someone said, hold my gold Amex card.
Yeah, that was unbelievable. If you've ever been hit in the head with a Bentley key ring,
it really
fuck
stings.
You fucking know you're alive, I tell you what. And then this guy's chauffeur's just fucking come from behind. He's coward punched me. Michael, you try and do your best, and all people do is just slam you from pillar to post. I've copped it all this week. The Gold Coast Suns, they're going to miss the finals yet again in their short history. And everyone just says, they've gone them this week. You know, Tom Lynch said he's going to walk out, and all of a sudden the club's a rabble.
It's a lot of finger pointing going on. And you were one of the key people at the initiation of the club. You were one of the key people. Don't forget that.
Every one of my decisions, they went with wholeheartedly, and I stand by it. Like, I said, nothing bad will come of Carmichael Hunt going to that club.
Uh-huh. You were key, getting him to the team.
I said, he will set standards that you will not believe, both on the field, and let me tell you about his off the field. When those boys go on a golfing trip, they are going to fly around that course.
You're going to have a great time. I mean, you know, your tea time, you know, might be like noon, but you're in the bar by one. And that's very rare for 18 holes.
Exactly. And you know what? You know what you're saving on when you hang out with Carmichael Hunt? You're saving on catering, because everyone's appetite is suppressed. So they don't need to hang out with him. They don't need to pay money for food. And you know what? I just think that also it's good for young kids to see the how the law works. Because, you know, these guys, they probably didn't do a lot of legal studies.
No.
So they would have been out there kicking the footy. And they're going, I don't need legal studies. But once you get to the footy club, and then they see Carmichael go down to have a chat at the local Gold Coast police station.
Uh-huh.
And then when he comes back to the club and they're like, oh, and then what happened? He's like, well, then they said I can call my lawyer. And they're like, oh, okay, right. And how long were you in there for? He's like, oh, 4 hours they talked to me.
I mean, you can find it more. I've got a stat deck over here if you want to read more into it.
Yeah. And they're like, did you have to give names? And he's like, oh, no, I didn't. But I just threw everyone I knew under the bus because that's the kind of person I am. And that's the kind of standard I wanted him to set down the club, is that you only look after yourself.
But you had other great ideas. Like, don't sell yourself short. You had great ideas.
My idea of giving a rookie coach a go. I didn't want someone who'd been around the block, talked in circles, had won flags, who knew what he was doing there. You know what? They always get a go, don't they? You know, like Kevin Sheedy, they send him up to GWS. Look where GWS are now, you know? They're struggling for a top four. They can't even lock in a top four position yet. Whereas the Gold Coast, they know exactly that they are going to end 17th. That is a team that knows where it's at. And that came through Guy McKenna.
And then some premium fitness people that you hired up.
Well, I hired... See, people say that you need, you know, the best... I mean, you, all right, you compare it. This is the way I saw it, okay? You've seen Rocky IV.
Oh, yeah, Drago. Oh, dude, coming back in Creed 2. Fucking Drago's son, the greatest film of all time. I haven't seen it yet. I've seen the trailer. It's already the greatest film of all time. I can go on.
Feel like this got sidetracked in a way that I wasn't expecting. But Drago was created in a laboratory.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's not a machine. He's a man.
He had all the money in the world thrown his way, and they created one of the best boxers ever seen. And how did Rocky go about it? He went back. He went to rural Russia. He was outrunning the KGB in the snow.
Absolutely. Right? And then on Christmas Day, he took down Drago, and he turned the Russian crowd that were pro-Drago into pro-Rocky. And then he said, if I can change... You can change. We all can change. Anyway.
Again.
About your time with Goldie.
Feel like this has been sidetracked into your love of Rocky films, but I said we don't need all the facilities that every other club has and all the access has and their high altitude and their low gravity treadmills and their weight and their
fancy
and their not
stuff.
Yeah, and their non-rat infested gyms. Fuck that.
Aircon.
Aircon? What do you need that for? You're in a gym, mate.
Yeah, in the Goldie. What do you need aircon in summer for?
Who cares if a 160-kilogram bench press is slipping out of your hands?
Uh-huh.
You know to hang on to that if your chest cavity is about to be crushed and people can't lift it off you because their hands are slipping off. Plus, I want to know, I bought over 200 rats to put into that gym because I had them, like Rocky, the original one, where he's running around trying to catch a chicken. I had them running around the gym trying to catch rats.
Well, also in Creed, like he got the...
The other thing, 5 years ago, you mocked me. I went into the trademark office. I sat down and I said, I've got a list of phrases that I would like to lock off and make my own. Much like Nick Giannopoulos owns the word wog.
Is that true? Is that a real fact?
He tried to.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
They said, that's not going to happen. But they said to me, mate, you're a genius and we're going to allow you to trademark whatever phrases you want. So I have copyright on these and I get a lot of money every time they're used. And so the one that I went down with first, and people mocked me and said, people aren't going to use this, Adam. This is a waste of time. This is a waste of our time, they said at the trademark office. Mm-hmm. And I said, you mark my words. The big dance. I said, people will start referring to the grand final as the big dance. And you go, and they said, why would they do that? It's a game of footy. It's got nothing to do with dancing.
They'd be foolish. It'd be stupid for journalists and television broadcasters to do such a thing.
And I said, mate, it'll come to the point that they won't even refer to it as the grand final.
No, you're right.
And they'll even go on the AFL website and they will say, it's time for the big dance.
I actually think one of the recommendations that slipped through under the radar last week from that rules committee is that they recommended to the commission, instead of it being called the grand final from now on, it'll be called the big dance.
The big dance, yeah. How many big dances have you won? Yeah. Oh, you're a four-time big dancer. Oh,
yeah. And then the prelim will now be referred to as the game before the big dance.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, mate. Mate, he choked in the big dance. You don't want that. You don't want that labeled against you, do you? You know, that will be a stain on your career to go through. You played 350 games, but never got to the big dance. That will hurt. So while I was in there, I thought, what else could I trademark while I'm there? And I have become...
Two birds, one stone, yeah.
Yeah. The reason that you and I are doing very well is because I went in there and I said, foot candy? They said, that doesn't make sense. I go, mate... I said, you know how you can sell hand candy? They go, yeah, well, that makes sense. It's like a bork. I said, we don't call it a bork anymore. It's hand candy. I said, but foot candy? And they said, how do you do that? Well, I go, well, it's when you sort of go to kick it, but you don't. And I go, that doesn't make sense. You're a fucking moron. I go, mate, please, write it down.
Remember my name, Adam Rosenbach.
Yeah, shake and bake.
Shake and bake, yeah, obviously, ahead of your time.
Because they said, what's a shake and bake? And I said, well, it's like foot candy, you fucking morons. What am I, an idiot? It's fucking Fox Footy's version of fucking foot candy. Jesus. Chaos ball.
Yeah, yeah. Good one. Well, you're right, said, to do that.
What's a chaos ball? And I said, well, you know those kicks you used to do in under 12s where your coach would go, mate, you're a fucking hack.
Uh-huh.
You can't kick at all. Now that's referred to as a chaos ball, and it's a good thing, and it's going to be worth a lot of money to me.
Yeah, players actually, you know, practice the chaos ball now.
Yeah. The other one I trademarked a while back, competitive beast.
Oh, fuck.
I said, do you know how often someone will be referred to?
I didn't expect that one.
not white line fever, not anything like that. He's a competitive beast. That hurts me. And then just recently I got another two done. Nightclub incident.
Yeah. So I got a feeling that'll come in very handy.
Yeah, I'm expecting a spike in that in the next couple of weeks. And also alongside that, because you got a 2-for-1 deal, positive B sample.
Yeah, gotcha. I might be Johnny come lately to this, but I just yesterday actually, I trademarked punched an Uber driver.
Okay. That's a good one.
I feel like that's going to come in handy. So Richmond are on pace to crack 100,000 again.
Shit, man.
Oh, I go through a few figures. Like Melbourne clubs, Hawks are about 60, Essendon about 50, Geelong about 40, Carlton 38.
Is that all?
38, yeah.
See, I thought Carlton would have been higher than Geelong. Just mainly because, you know, they're a bigger
you've
club.
You've been a pretty awful team for a fair while now.
No, I know. It is a fair effort to... It is a big waste of money to get that membership.
Suns are 5,894.
Do you reckon it's that high? Mm. Do you honestly believe that?
That's kind of interesting how many people have done that. So here we go. Adelaide have said that they've got 77,000.
Okay, wow.
Okay, but they have included in their figures, non-financial, digital only, We Fly As One members, a quasi-mailing list which provides no access to games, and offers a 10% discount on club merchandise. And they've chucked that into their membership figures. So basically a bunch of dudes on a mailing list.
They're like,
yeah. No, they're full members. Oh. What do they get to go to the games? What are you talking about? Why would members get to come to games?
Yeah, no, they get 10% off of the fucking merch.
Better. They get better stuff than seeing the games. They get 10% off scarves and beanies.
You're an Adelaide member? Oh, yeah. Mate, I love the Crows. What do you get? I get an email?
What else? It was pretty... I mean, it's...
Well, I get 10% off at the merch store.
The waiting list on the mailing list is enormous. Yeah. And you type in your Hotmail and then, you know, maybe within 12 years, you might get an email telling me about discounts down at the footy park.
So how would they even think of including that? Like, that's fudging the numbers. That, you know what, Adelaide, you're a bunch of cheats.
Well, it's 77,000, right? And then Port Adelaide and 42. Now, I imagine Adelaide does have more members, but that discrepancy wouldn't be that enormous. But also, when they're collecting these figures, the AFL, I imagine, is collecting these figures, and they go, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, here's 77,000, that sounds a bit high, Adelaide.
Yeah, you've jumped up like 30,000.
Congratulations. Like, what's the process here? And they're like... Oh, yeah, we just get a bunch of emails on a mailing list and we pretend that's real.
Yeah.
You go, okay, can we have the actual figure?
Yeah.
Because you're lying to us.
Yeah.
And the umpire bounces the ball for the beginning of the second term. We are here at the Beanstalk Stadium. Adam Rosenbach and Michael Chamberlain here for a very special edition of Junk Time. Adam.
Mate, we're on the road.
We're sitting up in the stands here. We're at the game together. Just by the chance, we're in the same town. It's a reunion of sorts. The Hawks are a concerning 24 points down. But, I mean, basically, that's the umpire's fault. There's the Toby Green rule.
I love it.
The Toby Green rule. So, we'll remember last year when Toby Green would go up for a mark and do a bit of karate kick at the same time.
Kick people in the chest or the face or the arm.
Yeah. So, the AFL has said, we're not allowed to do that anymore.
Yep.
So, the Toby Green rule. So, is it a point of pride that you have a rule named after you?
Yes.
When the reason that rule is named after you is because you were kicking people in the head.
Yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't you want that? I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, so just walking around going, hey, yeah, they've got a rule named after me. Oh, okay, great. Yeah, cool.
Are there any other rules that have been brought in because...
Is it because you were such a good player that, you know, they had to, like, you know, maybe like the centre diamond or like the, you know, you're such a good player that people couldn't combat you and they had to bring actual rules, you know? Are you a powerful full forward and people are tugging on you? It's not that. No,
it's because you're a filthy cunt.
Yeah, I used to kick people in the face for no reason.
I like it. I loved it in the game, and I'm sad that it's going out of the game, that you're not going to be able to kick a person in the face when you're going for the ball anymore.
Yeah,
because sure. I think that's a draw card. Like, you know, they want to take the game into the international area. And if you had a more like UFC where mm-hmm. you could just do whatever.
What if they tweak it a little bit? Because Toby Green would kick people in the face and pretend he wasn't trying to kick people in the face. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What if they tweaked it a little bit that you're allowed to kick people in the face if you...
If you call it.
Well, if you kind of make it clear that you are actually intending to kick a person in the face.
So do you have to signal or something?
I suppose so, yeah. Maybe call it. Like when the...
Face kick.
Like in the ruck contest, you nominate yourself.
Nominate, yeah. You nominate, you go, oh, yeah, I'm going to kick you.
So as a guy's running back with the fly to the ball, you go, face kick.
Yeah. And then it's legal.
So people know that you get to kick that guy
So when
in the
he's
face.
Lying on the ground with blood pouring out, with claret pouring out of his face...
Yeah, sure.
He goes, mate, I said face kick.
Hey, you got warned.
Yeah. What more do you want? Yeah, so the AFL, they've gone too early. They should have trialled it in the preseason, but I think taking that out of the game is too much too soon. So we get in there, and I sit down, and then Carlton serve up the biggest load of bullshit you've ever seen in the first half, even at quarter time. Like, I think it might have been 6-0.
Yeah, I think about that, yeah.
It was embarrassing. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter. We were gone. It was 12-0 at half time. There are a couple of things about it. One of them was, you know,
talk it out, Adam. I want to be. I have an Oprah moment here. Let's talk it out. I will make fun of you at various points, but talk it out.
So at various stages during the quarter time breaks, and we've been a part of this. They'll have, say, you know, your bongo cam, your karaoke cam, all that kind of stuff. And so Carlton decided they'd keep going with that. So even though everyone at the game fucking hates this team so much right now. They've got this guy on the ground. I don't know his name. I know the girl at halftime is Emily Yang when she's from Channel 7. But the guy on the ground at halftime, he does a lot of the pre-game interviews and chats and all that shit with the, you know, non-playing players and all that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so he comes out and he's got his messaging from the club. And he's like, all right, ladies and gentlemen, of course, it's a great time to get yourself a membership. Carlton, we're up to 50,000. And you're like, mate, no one. No one right now. People are fucking burning their membership. No one is leaving the stadium. It's getting their thing scanned out with the fucking inkling of getting back into that ground and buying a membership.
Oh, shit, they're 70 points down. Where do I sign up?
Yeah, exactly. How can I get more of this? Now.
I want to see it every second week.
Yeah, and I'm here. And if I'm here and I'm not a member, I'm not fucking buying one. And if I'm a member, I don't want to come back. I'm contemplating going home. So then, at halftime, they do Oblivious Cam.
Yep.
Right? How about you fucking pull Oblivious Cam? No one gives a shit. Like, if people aren't paying attention to what's going out on the ground, it's because our fucking players weren't either. You want a proper Oblivious Cam, how about you put it on our coach's box? Those cunts have got no idea.
Hey, they're looking at crapping down on crapping down, looking down at cracking down on scalpers. Adam, you worried about this?
Oh, I'm very worried. Now, as you and I know, we make a lot of our income from grand finals. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of what we call corporate work. So we get we get tickets issued to us, and then we on sell them to mm-hmm. a lot of our friends out there in the general public. But the Victoria Police have changed the fine system. So if you get busted scalping this year, so and also it's across all finals. It's not just the grand final anymore. So you and I, we used to fucking gouge the prelim like nothing else because people were desperate to get to that.
Absolutely. We sold so many tickets to Giants fans last year.
Mate, we made a fucking killing. We made over $1,000. So the fines, and I'm not afraid to get a fine because you saw me, I jaywalked, I didn't get a fine. I am above the law, but even I'm concerned about this. So the fines range from $806, got that? $806 minimum to $483,500, depending on the offence. How's that fucking range?
What have you got to do to get that
There's
jump?
A range of $482,000. What have you done? Like, what have you overstepped
the line?
I have
no idea. I don't know. For one ticket, okay, maybe it's $806. And also, that's a random figure as well. How do they come up with that? And then what if it's like a grand final ticket and a first semi ticket? Oh, that's 483, mate. Ralph.
What's Ralph?
You know Ralph.
No, who's Ralph?
Ralph the mm-hmm. Roof.
What?
Ralph the Roof is the name of the roof at Etihad Stadium.
Oh, that Ralph.
They've given it a name. Ralph.
Good, good,
it's Ralph
good.
Ralph the Roof. And, uh-huh. and Ralph the Roof has a Twitter account. So
you know who hates Ralph the Roof? Brad Scott. Fucking hates it, mate. It's got to be. It's either open or shut. I mean, what are you doing?
Ralph, it's R-A-L-F. Ralph the Roof.
Okay.
On Twitter. Ralph the Roof.
Yep.
And so let me say Ralph the Roof. Hey, guys, I'm loving this autumn weather so much, so I'm going to stay open today. Hashtag. Ooh, hashtag.
Fuck, Ralphie.
Syllables. Hashtag no Melbourne show for me today. Hashtag team open. Hashtag AFL Blues.
And so hang on. This was yesterday. Ralphie tweeted that he's going
to
be open.
No, we can get to Ralphie's account to find out information about the roof. Like if it's going to be open it shut. What's Ralph's view on how, you know, things are going to operate.
Yeah.
What's it say here? Someone here has had a go at Ralph the Roof. You need to take some responsibility for the poor footy. That's on Must Have Been Good Friday.
Yep.
And Ralph fucking came back. Said you need to start cheering louder. And the guy came back at the roof, you need to shut up.
Fuck. Mate, no, good on Ralph for defending himself there. If you're a roof and you're open, you got to stick up for yourself.
Should we tweet Ralph the Roof?
Yes.
Yeah, let's send a message to Ralph the Roof.
Yeah, okay.
What can we say?
What's a good thing to say? What do you say to a roof? I mean, this is my first opportunity.
How about how's the chicken salt at Etihad Stadium?
Yeah, I like it. Although, should we ask something about being more roofy? Have you ever thought about...
Should we send him like an abusive meme or something?
No. Have you ever thought about like...
I'd like to find... I'd love it if I'll eventually dig a bit deeper and find out that Ralph the Roof is like alt-right or something like that.
Is there something about... Have you ever thought about putting in like a skylight or something like that?
Okay.
You know, so you can be closed, but we can still get the sunlight coming through.
Okay, I just got to put the mic down for a second. Well, that doesn't mean you can't keep talking.
But I don't know what to talk about.
Okay. So, I'll hop in one here. Have you ever thought?
And we'll see how long, hopefully, Ralph the Roof, because, you know, he would be onto it.
Putting in a skylight.
Do you think, like, what level of employee would be looking after Ralph the Roof?
How high do you have to be on the social media scale before you get given the fucking roof?
Before you get the password to Ralph the Roof.
I like to think it's Gil.
Yeah, okay.
He's and just I also like to think it was alt-right as well.
What I'm predicting is that Melbourne will get a home final at the MCG because they will finish fifth and they will play Geelong. That is my prediction heading in. So, delicatessens around the country, set yourselves. That will either be the Saturday night or the Friday night game in Melbourne. Set yourselves. There are going to be huge orders of... cornichons.
Smoked salmon.
Can you believe the smoked salmon industry? Will it be able to cope?
The camembert.
Woo! Boy, oh boy. Like you just, if you, can you imagine, you're just sitting at home, right? You don't follow football, but you're a maker of a hardwood cheese board.
Yeah, sure.
And you're just sitting there.
I reckon in the car park of the MCG, you should do like a pop-up cheese shop. Just have like a whole bunch of different cheeses for people coming into the ground.
Mate, could you imagine how well that would sell?
It's actually a fucking really good idea. We should do that.
That is great. If you go next to the footy record seller, if you're just there going, quince paste, get your quince paste. And then people are coming over going, do you want a footy record? It's going, no, Dad, I need the quince.
Pate, $5.
We get your foie gras, people.
There's Melbourne and Geelong. Let's not forget, Geelong has some fairly sophisticated supporters as well. So Melbourne, Geelong, it's a boon industry. Yeah, fuck man, pop up at the back of a junk time branded car. We should do a cheese shop, smoked salmon, pate, get on board.
Quince, cornichons, you name it, pickled onions, whatever you need. We are the dealers. We are Melbourne's dealers. If you see anyone else selling that shit outside the MCG, that is an inferior product, and I would not go near. If I see anyone trying to scalp some sort of Gruyere, I'll take that motherfucker down. He says it's something we have to deal with. I would never say it is common, but it has happened before, and the AFL Integrity Unit has dealt with it very quickly on each occasion. Now, does that mean there's like a crack team in the AFL Integrity Unit? They go, boys, we've got a fucking death threat. And they go out and they neutralise someone? Like, you know, you're at home and it's just like...
AFL Integrity Unit.
Yeah. Boom, in comes the door. Fucking bang. You get a butt of the rifle to your face. You fucking threatened an umpire again, mate. You're like, I didn't know. I thought it was in the... I didn't think it was in the back. And then you're just like a marked man. You know, they just...
Sure.
You know,
sure, they're like Black Ops. Like, they killed Osama. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So next time, you know, you've given the threat, you get in your car, you look in the rearview mirror, there's just an AFL integrity officer just sitting in the car behind you, just flashes his high beams.
What did you tweet at 10:55 on a Friday night? We're monitoring. I didn't mean anything. We're monitoring your calls to SEN.
We're telling you, mate, you back off. I don't want to hear you bag the umpires. I don't want to hear you call them white maggots.
Fuck, mate. We heard what you said to Jared Waitley at 9:07.
If you say that Michael Christian doesn't know what he's doing ever again, mate, you'll fucking disappear. Do you understand? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do it. Fuck, I love the Black Ops AFL integrity
that's
unit.
That's hilarious. That'd be awesome.
They got some work cut out for them, but I like what they do.
We fucking heard some fucking talk that you didn't want to, you didn't want a Twilight Grand Final. Now change your fucking tune, all right?
The next time that you say a Zupa Dupa goal does not belong in our game, mate, you'll be fucking talking with a machine.
Mate, there are three types of salt and they're all at Etihad Stadium.
If you bring up Mitani or any other interstate fucking salt again, if you say that the AFL has wasted billions of dollars on those two extra franchises one more fucking time, mate.
We'll break your fucking thumb, mate. It's a fucking good footbridge and it came in under budget. It came in under budget.
Shut your mouth!
For some reason, we got it from Malaysia, but that's the point.
And you know which vision is the key in this? Behind the goals. That's never existed before, has it? It's always, oh, it's the behind the goals vision that got him. You have a look at the behind the goals, you can't see it clearly. He's fucking been done by the behind the goals. Why did we only just get cameras behind the goals in the 70 years has been broadcast? Only just thought to put some from the shit seats.
Yeah, and not only in the game do they kind of have it, but also the isn't all the coaching about the behind the goals camera now as well?
I mean, that's the one that tells the truth. You can't hide from anything. You can't say, I ducked my head, I jibbed it. You go, I didn't. They go, mate.
Behind the goals, the footage does not lie.
The BTG. I'm not the behind the goals. Yeah, mate. Ah, fuck.
You got me.
I didn't know they were filming.
We're always filming behind the goals, mate.
No matter what you do, mate, behind the goals, it will catch you.
They should
every
do that.
Time.
Like, if you want home security or something like that, just set up a few little goalposts and they'll just catch every single thing that happens.
You know what you do? Okay, to further that, that's a great idea. You just paint a set of goalposts on the lens. So no matter where the camera is, it's looking through the goalpost.
You know the footage, I was actually watching it the other day, actually quite nice now, but they've kind of spruced it up, but the footage of man walking on the moon back in 69.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what they had up on the moon?
No.
A few goalposts.
Really?
Crystal clear shot.
Well, so there's a lot of stuff you couldn't see, but you go, check out Neil Armstrong from the behind the goal vision. You go, he's fucking elbowed Buzz Aldrin in the face, right in the helmet.
That's what Zapruder needed. He needed some goals. We'd have caught them by now. We'd have caught them.
Oh, behind the grassy. If it had been behind the grassy goals, then we've got a fucking killer.
Welcome, new running joke to the show.
Who were some of the players you were playing with? Plugger was there at the time, wasn't he?
Got a great Plugger story. My first ever...
Nope, don't tell it. We don't want to hear it.
So my first ever day at the Swans was pre-season, and they're giving me a tour, personal tour of the place and showing me the facilities. And I could just... there was a moment where I was just... They were talking to someone else, and I thought, I'll duck off and have a look myself.
So is this 2000 or 99?
99. 99. Okay. 99
when I rocked. You're walking around the SCG, because there's the oval next door.
It was actually 98, drafted 98, and went over just before the 99 season. So this is pre-season for the 99 season.
Yep. Were you training on the SCG?
Yes.
Yep.
Yep. And so I'm walking through the halls of the change rooms and I could just hear this cheering. Yeah, yeah, standing ovation. And I thought, I'll go down and have a look at that. And I peer my head through the window, around the side of the door, and I could see Dale Lewis standing up, Darren Kresel, Paul Kelly, like legends of the club. And I'm going, you know, Stewie Maxfield, everyone's just standing up, wow, and clapping. And I'm going, what's going on? Peer my head around the corner and there's Plugger out the front with his top off and he's holding up a cricket bat. And I just found out that he'd got 100 and his skin folds and he was raising the bat. And the boys, so he's come back from off-season so fat. But yeah, if it was anyone else, they would have got absolutely shellacked, right? But this guy, everyone is giving him a standing ovation because he's come back so fat.